Hi, everybody. Welcome to Fireside Chat number 271. I already got the number from Megan. I didn't want you to think I spontaneously got the right number. So I don't know how long Otto will be with me, so take him in while you have him. He's unpredictable in that way, but at least we got him for the beginning. So hello, everybody. Is this our first one or second one of the new year?
Second.
Second one, yeah. So I've been wishing people a happier new year rather than happy new year, because it's been some difficult years and there will be more difficult years. By the way, it's worth commenting on just that for a moment before I open up on what I want to talk to you about and then take your questions. Americans, just speaking now for America, but I think it would apply to a certain extent in Western Europe, most of Western Europe as well, and perhaps other places. It has been one of the easiest times in recorded history, these past decades, or the decades after World War II in some ways. Obviously, there were issues even then, certainly in this country, the United States, the Vietnam War, and it's tearing apart the country for a while. And there were race riots and race protests. So I only want to say this, especially to my young viewers and listeners. Life is rough. I talked about that. Life is tough. And one of the reasons that I have led a happy life, and I've had my share of pain, I promise you, but one of the reasons is I am shocked when things are good, not when things are bad. And I have a chapter on that in my happiness book. Happiness is a Serious Problem, a chapter on not having expectations. It is one of the most important things you can develop in life. I actually got that from Buddhism, interestingly enough. Yeah, I actually adopted that attitude in college, to expect nothing. And then everything good is a gift. And that's how I've led my life. But please understand, the human condition is an extremely difficult one because human nature is profoundly flawed. It takes a great effort to make oneself a good person. And imagine then how hard it is to make a good society, which is why I am so worried about America, because with all its flaws, which of course it has had because it's composed of flawed human beings, it has been the freest country in the history of the world, given more people more opportunities economically and in every other way than any other country. It's not the only good country by any means. But it's easy to destroy the good in the name of the best. There's a famous phrase, the best is the enemy of the better. It's worth remembering. There are a number of phrases that help you understand life. That's one of them. Don't go for the best. Go for better. And you'll have a better life and a better country. I want to talk to you about something that is new, however, and is very disconcerting. In virtually every society, it has been understood that adults' job is to protect children. It is to raise children into good adults and to protect them when they're children. We are not. This is truly a first in American history, perhaps even in modern Western history. An obvious example is closing schools for 2 years for absolutely no good reason, as Sweden proved, because Sweden kept its schools open until the age of 16, the entire time of COVID, and nothing happened. And therefore, their kids are not committing suicide, are not taking antidepressants at nearly the rate of American kids, or British kids, or many others. You can't keep kids away from other kids for such a long period, have them sit at home and basically do video, and not think you are going to pay a terrible price. In other words, I'm saying something very painful, but I have to level with you. There are many wonderful adults in America, but there are many awful adults. Not that they wake up and think, gee, how can I hurt kids? But that they're so foolish that they just do end up hurting kids. Remember, intentions don't mean anything. They mean nothing in life. Nothing. You can have wonderful intentions. In the early 20th century, America passed an amendment to its constitution called Prohibition because alcohol accompanies so much violence, so much sexual assault, so much abuse of children, so much abuse of spouses and partners. And though they had the greatest intentions, the people who created Prohibition, in other words, banning drinking of alcohol, selling of alcohol in the United States. But what ended up was a massive increase in organized crime and a great deal of corruption. And an amendment was passed to the U.S. Constitution revoking the previous amendment that had never happened and has never happened in American history, where one amendment was passed to undo a previous amendment. That was, I identify with those good intentions. I have a deep worry about alcohol in society, but it just didn't work. So good intentions, did people have good intentions keeping kids out of school for 2 years? They may have. What's the difference? They hurt them. And now, I don't know what the intentions are, but the idea of sexualizing children from the age of five, talking to them in class about sexual matters, I don't think this should be done in eighth grade. I don't know why schools have ever began the notion of teaching kids about sex. It's not their job. It's their job to teach reading, writing, and arithmetic, and history, and music, and art. If they actually taught things that matter, there wouldn't even be time for all the sex talk in schools. Then I go to universities to speak, and I'll never forget one. I don't remember which it was. I know it was in Illinois, but I don't remember which university. I went there during sex week. I actually have libertarian views on sexual matters, but I will tell you, I don't think that there is a crying need for sex week at universities. But that's universities, at least that's 18 and older. But in elementary schools, and now to have drag queen story hours? Drag queen story hours. These are men who dress up as women, act as women, act sexually like a woman on stage, sometimes doing a striptease. You can see it actually during this broadcast, a video that our presenter, Aldo Budizzoni, who did a great job. He was on Fox News in Los Angeles. Take care, Otto. Be well. Even Otto doesn't want to be sexualized too early. And he reported on this. And by the way, we have a campaign at PragerU. And what is it called? Protect Children's Innocence? Yeah, PCI. Protect Children's Innocence. I remember things with acronyms. You want to know? Here's an acronym I remember from school. Ready? ATSI, ready? ATSI. You'd never guess. Atmosphere, troposphere, stratosphere, ionosphere. It shows you how helpful having acronyms can be, anyway, for some people. For me, they are. Protect children's innocence. When I think of all the female teachers involved in robbing kids of innocence, talking to them about gay and straight. They said that in Florida, they passed a don't say gay law. Of course, they made up that name. It was a made up name completely. That's not the name of the law. I'm not even for saying straight. You don't have to talk about gay or straight to little kids. You don't have to talk about gay or straight to older kids. Why is that an issue in a school? Because they're teaching so much history and so much English and so much math and so much music and so much art that they have the time. Do you know that in America today, when I sign a book for a teenager, do you know what my first question is? Can you read cursive? Many can't. But they sure know about non-binary and preferred pronouns. Our man, Aldo, went to the Los Angeles Zoo where they had a family-friendly drag queen evening. I saw some of the videos where you have what looks like a woman but is a man, and who strips off clothing and does very sexual acts in front of kids. This is evil. I don't use the word often. It is evil. The task, I go back to my original point, the most basic task of adults is to protect children. So when I think about this, it's painful to me because when I was a kid, I associated most adults with being responsible people. I thought of them as grown-ups. I thought that I was, even though I didn't think of the term then, I was protected. I was given what kids need more than love, security. Today, they are helicoptered with love, but they're not given much security. This is a very real issue. The whole non-binary lie, the human species is male or female, that there is a tiny, infinitesimally small handful of people with what are called ambiguous genitalia doesn't negate the fact. There is male and female, just as there is in the animal kingdom. There is male and female. It's very disturbing to me. It should be disturbing to you. The role of the adult is to protect kids. And one of the biggest ways is to give them some period of their life to be innocent. By the way, it's not a great thing to be innocent the rest of your life. An adult should not be naive and innocent. An adult should be aware of life, because otherwise you can't handle it and you can't raise kids properly. But children deserve some years of innocence. And the biggest aspect of innocence is sexual innocence. Nature will take over in robbing them of innocence over time. Don't worry about it. But it's no reason to start when they're 5 years old. So we have this program, Protect Children's Innocence, at PragerU. And what are we asking people to do? Visit, sign a petition?
Take a pledge.
Take a pledge? Mm-hmm. Good. It's a beautiful thing. All right, let's go to your questions here. All right, here we go.
Hey, Dennis. My name is Keegan Nangle, and I'm 20 years old from Dallas, Texas, and I am also currently a student at the University of Alabama. As a young 20-year-old woman, I am always thinking about my future. I want a career in politics or media or both of those rolled into one, but I am unsure of how to start navigating that career. What is your advice for any young person in starting the navigation of their career path and their future?
Okay, that's not easy. Keegan, thank you. So specifically, let's see, because we have it written here too. You want a career in politics or media or both of those rolled into one? Here's an irony. They are rolled into one today since people in the media, even people who should just be reporting news, are so political today. So it's an interesting thing that you might want to roll them into one. You might want to roll them into one person at one point, do media and one point, do politics. Most people don't do both at the same time. So I'm going to give you a very direct answer. First, let's start with the politics. There are two reasons people go into politics. About 90% go into politics because they want to go into politics. Some people want to go into music. Some people want to go into finance. Some people want to go into carpentry. Some people want to be a full-time parent, and some people want to go into politics. They want to go into politics for all sorts of reasons. It seems glamorous. To a certain extent, it is. They may want the fame. They may ultimately want to be the president of the United States or the governor of a state or a senator or some other high position. That's a very bad reason to go into politics. The only reason to want to go into politics is to do good. And therefore, the good has to be more important than the politics. So you have to figure out, and you might have, and you might be on your way to, what is it you truly stand for? See, had you phrased the question, I really want to do as much good for my troubled country as possible, so I'm thinking of politics, that might well be your reason. I'm just saying, though, I can only respond to what you did say. You have to ask yourself, why do I, Keegan, want to go into politics? That's the number one thing you have to decide. And then, like the vast majority of people, you, for example, you could join a campaign. You could get an idea of what it's like to be in politics. You can perhaps get into some staff, whether it's a mayor's staff or a city councilman's staff or a congressperson's staff, and from there branch out and eventually, presumably, run for office if that's your desire. But the first thing you have to do is ask yourself, why do I want to do that? The same thing with media. Why do you want to go into the media? And what do you mean by media? Do you mean having a podcast? Do you mean joining a newspaper, going on a website, writing? Is it television? In other words, is it video? Is it audible? Or is it written? There are so many things you have to get clear for yourself. My view in life has always been, with clarity, you'll get anywhere you want. You have to be clear. What is it I want to do and achieve? That's the number one thing in answering the question that you posed to me. I'll give you one other piece of advice, since you asked me for advice. Learn as much as you can. The more knowledge you have, the better you will do in any profession, and especially the two you mentioned, and specifically history. If you don't know what happened, you can't understand the present. The only way to understand the present is to understand the past. So you should be reading, and once you've finished reading, continue reading, because you'll never finish reading. Good luck. Everybody needs that. Oh, one other thing. Get married. Right? I wouldn't be true to myself if I didn't say it. The notion that both males and females of your generation have is that first, you know, okay, if the right person comes along, but I'm preoccupied now with making a living and advancing professionally. I don't even understand that argument. Why can't you start making a living and advance professionally with a, in your case, presumably a husband? Why does that hold you back? If anything, it actually, we know this is a fact. People who marry earn more money. There are many reasons. One of them is that they feel that they have to be responsible now for a burgeoning family, and so they work harder, and they also waste a lot less time once they are married. So I don't think you should be delaying trying to find the right person. As I tell young women all the time, good men do not grow on trees. Sorry. Okay, that was a long answer to a long question, actually. All right, here we go. Rick in South Bend, Indiana, just reviewed Fireside Chat 72. That's 200 Fireside Chats ago. Mm-hmm. There's no reason not to watch them all. Very few of these if any, are dated. Even if they're about something happening at the moment, they're about always, they're about larger issues. Just like today's it has been and will continue to be. Anyway, when adult children don't speak to their parents, something I just also wrote about on the, you can see on the internet. Thanks, but here's a twist on that scenario. My wife and I have been married for 28 years. We've been blessed with 7 kids. I assume it's a religious family. Secular families don't have 7 kids. 3 of whom are on their own. My oldest daughter has refused contact with me for a full year. Just me, not my wife, her mom. It's incredibly painful, as you rightfully point out in your talk, but it has also become quite divisive in our marriage and family. I pray for that daughter daily. I pray for reconciliation and healing daily. I know I wasn't a perfect dad, but I have no opportunity to find out what I should be apologizing for. Please pray for me and my family. Thanks for all you do. Well, let me react to a few things that you wrote here. First of all, there's no such thing as a perfect dad. There has never been a perfect dad. There has never been a perfect mom in the history of parents. The reason is humans are flawed, and then that human becomes a parent. There was one psychoanalyst who was somewhat of a strange bird, but very brilliant, Bruno Bettelheim. And I think he said something to the effect, don't try to be a perfect parent. Just try to be good enough. And I think I think it's a good piece of advice because that's what I remember him saying or something to that effect. So this notion, she doesn't talk to you and you're thinking, gee, was I an imperfect father? Excuse me, unless you abused her, she's an imperfect daughter. She should be the one who is apologizing, not you. I know a couple extremely well. I can't go beyond saying that. And their son, they have 4 children, their son decided not to speak to the father because of emotional hurts he felt he experienced as a young kid. I don't know what kid doesn't have emotional hurts, to be honest. I've had, never occurred to me not to talk to my parents. In fact, on the contrary, I actually believe that God had instructed me through the 10 commandments, honor your father and mother. And I called my parents every week of my life until they died at the ages of 96 and 89. No matter what ambivalence I may have had at any given point. Clearly, your daughter doesn't believe that honor your father and mother applies to her. Anyway, what this couple did was the wife, whom this child did continue to speak to, said, if you're not going to talk to your dad, then I'm not going to talk to you either. You're not going to divide us. And you are not going to abuse a good man. Now, if your wife thinks you're a good man, this is extremely hard for her to say, and I understand that, and I don't want to create even more divisiveness, God forbid. I know what she's thinking, probably. At least one of us is keeping the lines of communication open. But unless your wife thinks that the daughter is right in doing this to you, and that's its own problem independent of your daughter, she might consider the same thing, just saying what this wife that I know said to their child. Your father is a good man. What you're doing to him is morally wrong. And that is the case. I'm very sorry for both of you. The thought that this should happen and hurt your marriage, you have 6 other children to celebrate. You're lucky. So that's my take. How are we doing?
25.
Reagan, 16 years old, Thousand Oaks, California. Hello, Mr. Prager. I'm currently a sophomore in high school, and during my AP World History class, the question came up, which came first, racism or slavery? I honestly wasn't sure how to answer it, and I wanted to get your take on it. Thank you and everyone at PragerU for all you do. Slavery is as old as humanity. People have enslaved people of the same race, of the same ethnicity, you name it. Racism is probably very, very old in human species, because people tend to think that the other group is not as wonderful as their group. Whether the group is religious, or the group is national, or the group is linguistic, or the group is, you name it, certainly color. Listen, as everyone knows, even within the black community, it is well known that many darker blacks think that lighter blacks discriminate against them. Within Africa, there were slaves held, blacks holding black slaves. Whites have held white slaves. Arabs have held slaves of every group. In fact, it was one of the biggest slave trades in the world, the Arab/Muslim slave trade. So which came first? Slavery probably came first. That's one of the many reasons I think it's so absurd to believe that human nature is basically good. If people were basically good, why would slavery have been universal? And I mean universal. We don't know of a society that did not have it. Asia, Africa, Latin America, pre-Latin America, indigenous cultures, slavery was essentially universal. It might be accompanied by racism, but it doesn't have to be. Ask your class if they, it would be an interesting subject to raise. Do you think people are basically good? I'd love to know how many kids raise their hands and if the teacher would. And then say, given that racism and slavery are both virtually universal in human history, why do you still think people are basically good? They teach all the bad things that people have done, and especially America, and then continue to believe people are basically good. It's so irrational as to sort of boggle the mind. Felipe, 31 years old, Sao Paulo, Brazil. Hi, Dennis, Megan's Arm, Otto, and Snoopy. I am 31. I have a sister who was 16. Our father passed away when she was 8, and we were raised in a mostly conservative household. We always had an absolutely amazing relationship, but since I moved to another state in Brazil, Brazil has states like many other countries, she has been very close to members of the family who are radical leftists, not liberals. I always draw the distinction. If they were liberals, this would not be an issue. I don't want to control my sister's thoughts, but I fear this. What would you do? Greetings from Brazil. Well, I don't know how your relationship is with her. I infer from your email that it's been hurt. Do you infer the same thing, that it's been hurt? Because he writes that they've had an amazing relationship. So the assumption or the implication would appear to be, is Otto back?
Otto is back.
Snoopy has entered. The assumption would be that it's not as wonderful as it was. Mm-hmm. And I'm very sorry to hear that. One of the saddest things that people come to realize in life is how impossible it is to control any other person's life. And it's especially true if you love the person. A lot of parents think they can control their children after a certain age. You get a very small window of opportunity to control your child, and then it's over. That's why you should do as much as you can as early as possible in terms of teaching your child right from wrong and teaching them to control their nature, teaching them self-discipline. Oh, this is hilarious. Like musical chairs here, musical beds. No, he has decided not to come. people ask me when they have kids, what piece of advice, Dennis, do you give for me to in raising my new child, my first child? And I said, just remember, self-discipline is infinitely more important than self-esteem. In fact, you get self-esteem from self-discipline. I don't know of any other way to really get it. The rest is narcissism. So all you could do is be true to yourself in a non-aggressive way to state what you believe and how you feel about life, what you think. As painful as it is, you can't direct her life. Well, I guess that's it for today.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Goes fast. Well, everybody, remember we have this campaign there, Protect Children's Innocence at PragerU. I hope you'll sign the pledge there. And I look forward to seeing you next week. Thanks. Thank you for watching this video. To help keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.